Well, hey friends, welcome to my daily teaching video. Great to have you here with me. Hey, for this week, I'm going to be teaching from my new book, The Promise, and I'm going to be teaching all week long about how to grow your faith. Really great, and subject I'm really passionate about. I know it's going to be a blessing to you. Let me do three quick announcements. Firstly, if you are new on my channel, please check out my ministry. Links below. Hit the YouTube subscribe button. Thank you to all of the over 1 million subscribers now to our channel. Number two, I want to say a big thanks to all of the partners of my ministry. You know who you are. We love and appreciate you. If you'd like to become a partner, details below. And lastly, I have a brand new book out called The Promise, all about how to build a promise-filled life and live in and from the promises of God. It's available right now on Amazon as a Kindle or a paperback, and there'll be a link below. Really encourage you to get a copy of this and follow along. Right, let's jump into this teaching. Good. Welcome to day two. It's going to be a great day wherever you are at. I mentioned yesterday I'm in France today and having some good coffee in one of my favorite cities. We began yesterday talking about the need to grow our faith. This is a verse I read in 2 Thessalonians. Chapter 1, verse 3, it says, "We're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of all of you abounds one towards another." Selah. So, we need to grow our faith. It is not enough that our faith stays at the same level. You know, it's an interesting thing. I have been around the ministry of faith, the ministry of healing, for nearly 40 years now. And there are some cliches, proverbs, things you keep hearing, often as a critique of that movement. For instance, I have heard people say this many times, and yet I've never heard anybody say it. Just follow me a sec. I've heard people describe this scenario. Let's say when somebody's maybe in a wheelchair, they get prayer, and they're not healed. And then some nasty, intolerant faith preacher goes to them, sneering, pointing, and says, "You don't have enough faith." And of course, we all go, "How terrible that is." Now, can I completely agree? That's terrible. I would never do that. I want to be honest, though. I've never seen anyone ever do that. Not once. Now, maybe you have. If you have, I would be really careful. Did you really experience that yourself? Do you have it recorded? Or was it your perception or a secondhand story? Because I hear these stories passed around and they're not actually real. I came to this conclusion years ago, though, that while it's a good thing that we don't want to go to somebody and judge their faith. "You don't have enough faith." What I've noticed is socially acceptable in an evangelical world, though, is we do judge people's faith on the other end of the spectrum. So in that scenario, that awesome person in the wheelchair, we'll maybe go and we'll say, "I wonder why they're not healed. It's a mystery. They've got so much faith." Pause. Think with me for a minute. Whenever we look at somebody and we go, "Oh, they've got so much faith," and in effect we're saying, "I wonder why God broke his promise when they have so much faith." What we're actually doing is we are judging their faith. We're judging their faith to be great, to be plenteous, to be of high level. And my point to you simply is this. Don't go around judging anybody's faith. Let Jesus judge your faith. And Jesus was not afraid of judging. I don't say condemning, but judging or evaluating or measuring or calling out people's faith. Again and again, Jesus would say to the disciples things like, "Where is your faith?" Yeah. Sometimes he'd say, "Why have you got so little faith?" Other times he would go, "I've not seen so great faith." In Luke 18, it says, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" So Jesus is investigating our life. Jesus is looking at our life, and he's looking for faith within our life. And he doesn't condemn us or belittle us or push us down if we have small faith, but he does encourage us to grow in our faith. And I want to give you today four ways in which faith grows. Number one, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Let's get this really straight. The only way you can acquire faith, the only way you get faith is by hearing the word of God. And hearing the word of God obviously your physical ears have to hear it or you read it, but it's not simply intellectual. We can hear information. I can tell you there's a falafel store around the corner. They have great coffee down by the river. The sun sets at this. I can give you, that's information. Really, God's word causes revelation in our heart. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. They're alive. There's something about God's word which isn't just informational. Literally, God has breathed the breath of his life into this book. And when we put the word of God with our heart, if you will, faith will ignite. Faith comes by hearing. I love that. Faith comes. Just pause there. Faith comes. Yeah. I think I once heard a preacher talk about the analogy. Imagine a cup that was under a tap and there's a little drip of water. Maybe once a minute, a tiny drop of water drops into that cup. Imagine this cup sitting there. Drip. A minute later, drip. Drip. You know, and after a long time, there's a little bit of water beginning to gather. Drip. 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 Here's the analogy. If you leave it there, there is a time at which that cup will overflow. There is a time, it might be a long time, but a time at which one drop will cause the water to break the bounds of the cup. And water, it cannot contain any more water, and water will begin seeping out. And if you will keep hearing the word of God, faith will come. And there's a point at which your heart will suddenly begin overflowing with faith. You begin to feel faith. You begin to experience faith. What often happens is we've got half a cup of water or a little bit of little quantity of water in our cup, and we go, oh, I've heard the word of God and nothing's changed yet. You just got to keep hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Key number two, faith has got to go as well. Faith comes and faith goes. What do I mean by go? I mean faith has got to be released. Faith, I could say strength comes by eating food, eating protein. But strength also grows by usage. Your muscles develop when you eat the right food. Strength comes that way. And yet strength, if you only take food in and you never exercise, you become fat, you become lazy. It's got to be activated upon. When you activate, when you act on the word, you activate your faith. And I think what we've all got to do is learn to act on the word of God. Now, how do you act on the word of God? Frankly, there are various different ways you can do that. So often when Jesus would heal somebody, he'd say, get up and walk. Go show yourself to the priest. Stretch out your withered hand. Smith Wigglesworth used to say, faith is an act. He was from Yorkshire, and he'd put H's where there weren't none, and he'd take them away where there were. So he'd say, faith is an act. Faith is an act upon the word of God. One of the best ways I know of acting upon the word of God is simply speaking the word of God. There are some postures, some things you believe in God for, and you might find it hard. How do I get up and walk? How do I stretch up my hand? What does do look like? How can I engage myself practically with this word? And I tell you, simply speaking the word of God is one of the greatest acts of faith that we could do. Key number three, faith grows. And here's what I want you to see. Faith needs to be challenged. Faith needs, you can't have faith in the abstract. When somebody says, I have faith, I go, so what? The Bible says the devils believe and tremble. I mean, faith on its own isn't going anywhere. Faith got to be, people say, well, I have faith in God. Do you know, I don't think you can have faith in God. I think you have faith in God's word. You can't just have some vague sense there's a God up there somewhere. You need to have a connection point with that. So I have faith in God's word. I have faith in God's promises. And our faith grows when we have a situation that presents itself to us which denies, contradicts, or opposes the promises of God. You see, I could get every verse in the Bible on healing, on divine healing. I could lay them out. I can confess them, I can say them, I can rejoice in them. Does my faith for healing grow in doing that? It does to a degree. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. But faith grows when I've actually got pain in my body. Imagine I've got pain in my wrist, and then I've got a Bible which says, I am the Lord your healer, and I am caught betwixt two. That's the point at which my faith can grow. My faith grows in the opposition. It grows in the things that come against it. Come on, one last point I'll finish today. Faith must be engaged. Faith is like the engine of a car, but it needs that transmission that will connect it with the wheels that it goes somewhere. And I believe God wants us to be at peace, amen. And yet I think he wants our faith to be active all the time. I'll give you an example. I'm here recording this on a Thursday in the city of Lyon, France. I want my faith to be engaged today. What does that mean? I mean, I'm going to believe God to have a great day. I'm going to believe God today that he's the vine, I'm the branches, his life's flowing in and flowing through me. I'm going to believe the Lord today, he will orchestrate my steps. I'm going to believe him that I'll get the time to record this video and do all the other things I want to do. I'm going to believe that he'll protect me as I'm driving. I'm going to believe he provides me some great lunch soon. Just invest your faith in lots of small things. Challenge for most of us is we tend to be the God of our own lives. At a practical level, we go to church, we sing How Great Is Our God, and then we manage our own lives until we hit something we can't do. We hit something we can't cope with. We get a bill we can't pay or a doctor's diagnosis that goes beyond our medical drawer or whatever. And at that point, we pull our faith out from the closet. We dust it off and we try to activate and engage our faith. And so often we find that our faith wasn't where we thought it was in that moment. And my encouragement to you is this. Now's the time to start developing your faith. Now's the time to start building your faith. If you engage your faith in 100 smaller things, it gets easier to knock off the larger ones when they come. You kill a lion, you kill a bear, you kill a giant, you kill 5 giants, and then you lead the armies of Israel like David did. Selah. Boom. Hey guys, we're going to be talking tomorrow about what happens when our faith doesn't seem to be working, about putting faith on trial. Bless you in Jesus' name. Well, thank you for watching this far. Again, I'll be back tomorrow with another video. We have over 1,500 videos on our YouTube channel. Do check out those, and I'd love to hear from you in person. Drop me a comment below. Let me know if I can pray for you, and I encourage you to pick up a copy of my new book, The Promise. That's my sleazy commercial. Have a great day wherever you're at, and keep in touch. Bye for now.